Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive director of the NICD and professor emeritus of virology at Wits University. Today we're going to be chatting about the topic of Russian and Chinese vaccines. I can hear the exasperation already. Professor Shoup, good afternoon to you and thank you for being with us once again.
Good afternoon, Simon.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. I sit in this chair almost every day and it's incredible to me the resistance that there is to vaccines. I mean, AstraZeneca have played into those hands, and you're going where no man should go. You're going to talk Russian and Chinese vaccines, Prof.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they would, why we know where we should go. These are, of course, the two kind of non-Western vaccines. I'll say on the non-Western vaccines. Yeah, you're right. There was a sort of a kind of reluctance to kind of approve them because. Now, initially, they were a little, they had their cards very close to their chest, so we didn't really know very much about it. But this has changed, and this is really why I want to bring it up. Because these are vaccines which are, we're really looking at very, very seriously, and we're investigating very, very seriously. Let me first start off with the Russian vaccine. The Russian vaccine, it came from an institute called the Gamaleya Institute. The Gamaleya is quite a well-known institute. It's situated in Moscow. It's named after a guy called Nikolai Gamaleya in the 19th century, quite a famous microbiologist. They developed this vaccine together, in fact, with Hadassah Hospital in Israel. It was a sort of a combined project.
Okay,
and they came with this vaccine called the Sputnik 5 vaccine. It's called Sputnik because this was actually the very first COVID vaccine, believe it or not. The very first vaccine which was used in humans, used in a trial and then rolled out. And it's a vaccine which is constructed pretty similar to the Johnson & Johnson. It also uses what's called an adenovirus vector. In other words, a virus. It's a common cold virus called adenovirus. There are various adenoviruses. This is number 26. Not commonly found in humans. And they use this as the first dose, what we call the prime dose. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, they give a second dose called the boost dose. And the boost dose is a different adenovirus, this time adenovirus 5. So start with adenovirus 26, and then go adenovirus 5. The vials have got different colored stoppers, so you can identify which is the first and which is the second vaccine. Now, they've published the results in a peer-reviewed, very prestigious journal, the Lancet Journal, where they showed, in fact, amazing efficacy, 92% efficacy. In a, as I say, a peer-reviewed Western journal. So on paper, this looks like a very, very good vaccine. We know the adenovirus vaccines are pretty safe and they're pretty effective. There are, of course, two big question marks, which is the holdup. But before I get the holdup, actually the Sputnik vaccine, the Gamaleya vaccine, actually is currently in our regulatory authority for review in SAHPRA. So it may well come fairly soon, become available. But there are two big questions. One of them is the obvious one. How does it behave? How effective is it against the variant which is dominant in this country? Our notorious 501YV2 variant.
Yeah.
So that's a big kind of big question. Because at this stage, of course, we, since Africa, maybe a couple of the surrounding countries, are the only countries where this variant is dominant. So obviously they haven't trialed it in Russia or any of the 50 or so countries where this vaccine, in fact, is being used routinely. So we still have to investigate that both in the laboratory and hopefully some clinical data as well. But the fact that they got 92% efficacy, even with a previous strain, is quite good and quite encouraging news. That's the one problem. There's another problem. And that's, I mentioned adenovirus 5. This is a particular virus which is quite common in this country. There are geographical differences and it's common in this country. And the problem is that if you've been infected with adenovirus, which most people have, you get an immune response, which is good,
yeah,
unless you're susceptible to HIV. And the reason for that is that the cells which HIV attacks are the immune cells. So it activates it and therefore it makes people susceptible to HIV susceptible to getting infection. And they found this out in the early HIV vaccine trials. seem to be limited only to males and males who are uncircumcised, because that's where the immune cells seem to gather. So, it's a bit of a debate because obviously females are not susceptible, and elderly Muslim and Jewish males aren't susceptible. So it might have limited application there, but it's a very good vaccine, and it's just currently being seriously looked at. The Chinese vaccines, there are quite a few of them. There's a Sinopharm, there's a Sinovac, there's a CanSino, and one or two others. Some of them use also this adenovirus vector, in other words, a carrier. And also the other, Sinopharm and Sinovac, use an old traditional way of taking the virus and you inactivate it with heat and chemical. In other words, you kill the virus and use that as your vaccine. The problem with the Chinese vaccine, is that they, again, we just don't know enough about it. We actually are engaging with them next week to try and learn a little bit more about it. That's actually 500 million doses have already been, deployed to over 50 countries of the Chinese vaccines. So these are the two vaccines, the Russian and the Chinese, on paper look quite good, and we are investigating them quite seriously at the moment. But at the moment, they're not licensed in this country.
Prof, thank you as always. Just bring it on. Just bring it on. I want my jab. We'll chat again tomorrow, Prof.
Okay, on the voice note, yeah. Okay, Simon.